Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. It is Tuesday, April 27th, about 1:04 p.m. present. We have Representative Nelson, Representative Story, Representative Klayman, Representative Rauscher, Representative Tarr, and myself, Representative Tuck. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to do business. I would like to thank Tom Raymond in the back for moderating the meeting today, and then Robin Stevens, who is with House Records, who is working remotely. Just a reminder, because she is working remotely, to please speak into the microphone as close as you can. Today's agenda includes Senate Bill 40, sponsored by Senator Josh Wevac, and then we'll follow that up with House Joint Resolution 16, sponsored by Representative David Nelson. First up, Senate Bill 40. We had our first hearing on Thursday, April 22nd. Our first order is to take up public testimony. Before I do, just want to afford the senator an opportunity to say a comment before we go to public testimony, if you so desire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and again, members of the committee. All I want to say is that we appreciate you hearing this bill. And of course, we think it's a great bill, consumer protections for veterans, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. So just thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Wevac. And with that, any further comments before we open up the public testimony? Okay, we're going to open up public testimony. Public testimony is open. Is there any in the committee room that would like to testify? Not seeing anyone. I am going to turn to, looks like we have one person, Chris Block. Mr. Block, are you available?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Please proceed with your testimony by first giving us your name and your affiliation. Thank you.
Sure, I'm Christopher Block. I guess my affiliation, I am a disabled veteran, Air Force vet, did 8 years active duty, and then 8 years in the Air National Guard, and I've worked through the VA process for, well, since 2006. So in my background, working with disability and claims, I was 30% in the Guard, then did the recovery on Sitka 43 in 2010, the C-17 crash. And at that time, didn't really have an idea of how to get my rating, obviously being in the Guard, but being active duty at the time of the recovery. I think that this bill would help many veterans figure out the best possible way to go through a VSO, or at least give them the information where they have that possibility. I knew of the VSOs. I didn't realize that they had that kind of power to help in terms of like re-rating, or if being brought back to active duty and then having an additional claim on compensation and disability compensation. So I actually went through kind of a third-party person. And just to let you know, at the time, I wasn't making very much money, and it was pretty impossible to kind of figure out how to basically do the entire process. So I felt like if I had that information, you know, afforded to me, or if there was more information brought out, or anybody that was doing business in Alaska would have to give you that information, I think it would have saved me quite a lot of money, because some of the folks, I mean, they do a great job and they know how to work the process, but I think just your normal veteran, even if they're, you know, a member of the business community, and I have an MBA from APU, I just thought it was a better trade-off. But in the end, it actually probably cost me about $2,000 to get the re-rating, whereas I could have done that through kind of a VSO for free. So when I saw this bill, I think it's a great bill. I think that even well-educated veterans kind of need that protection afforded to them. And the more information and the more, I wouldn't even say kind of predatory things, but there's a lot of companies that make a lot of money off veterans that just need that help in terms of getting a re-rating. So I appreciate your time and consideration, and I hope that you guys pass this bill. I think it's good for all Alaskan veterans.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Block, for sharing your story and helping us see the importance of this bill. Do we have any questions for Mr. Block? And if you don't mind, Mr. Block, I have a question. I'm always fascinated on how many people actually pay attention to the legislature. How did you discover this bill, if you don't mind sharing that with us?
I sit on the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. We're members of the State Chamber of Commerce. So I think I get updates through one of those things. But anything veteran-related, I kind of pay special close attention to. I've been very involved in my civilian career for like recreational therapy for disabled vets. And so I'm kind of plugged in. And as soon as I saw that the release of this, it kind of hit home just because of my own experience through the disability compensation platform. And so I wanted to kind of talk about it.
Well, thank you for your service to our country, and thank you for serving with the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. And thanks for watching and paying attention to some of the things that sometimes doesn't get highlighted in the press as much as we hope. Any further comments from anybody? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question. Just sort of thinking about this, I guess it's like it's so disappointing to think of sort of organizations, in a way it sounds like taking advantage of veterans. And it says in here that there's a $1,000 fine for a violation, and I just wondered if you think that's the appropriate fine, given your own experience, because it sounds like it cost you a couple $1,000s.
Mr. Block?
I think so. I think the biggest thing, anybody doing business in Alaska with veterans that, that's their main kind of process. I think the group that I used was based out of Florida. So I think it's just important to safeguard, I don't know in terms of the fines, but they take a percentage of, so it costs you a flat fee, and then they take a percentage of whatever your bump in rating is. So if you went from, in my case, I think I went from 30 to 80, then 80 to 90% disabled, and it was only the initial bump that they took a percentage of. But I think it's just smart to have access to that information, or making sure that companies that want to do business in Alaska actually tell the veteran. Like you can go through the VSO, they offer the same level of would say, like, go to a VSO first, because they're kind of the experts, and just the information, they can provide the same thing, and just letting the veteran know that they have other opportunities. I think it's a start. I don't know if 1,000 would be a deterrent, but I think if enough veterans knew about the information, they would be smart enough to be like, okay, this is here and there's a reason for it. So I don't know. Again, there might be companies that would take a $1,000 fine. They might take a $5,000 fine or more. But I think that just getting the information to those veterans by using the companies, I think, is important. Step in the process.
Thank you very much. Follow-up, Representative Tarr?
Just one other question, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, because you're so active in the veterans community. And I was just looking at the veteran service officers in Alaska who work under organizations such as VFW, American Legion, Disabled Veterans, and Vietnam Veterans of America. These are all organizations that can do the services or provide these services free of charge. And I'm just wondering if and I'm not even sure the right way to ask this, but just as through my work as a legislator, often will visit those organizations, and certainly for commemorative events and other recognition type of events. But I do often notice that the membership is a little on the older side, and I'm just wondering if some of this is sort of like not integrating new veterans into these organizations, and if that's something we should be thinking about, or if that's sort of outside of, sort of what the legislature can be involved in. I could be totally wrong. I don't know. Maybe the younger veterans are getting more involved in those organizations. But when I go to them, I tend to see older veterans.
And did you expect a response from that?
I wondered if he had any involvement with those organizations or just any thoughts on that.
You have any thoughts you'd like to share with us, Mr. Brock?
So I'm 42, so I guess I'm kind of in between. I don't consider myself young. But since leaving active duty and being a part of the community and very involved in disabled veterans, I think that there is a little bit of age gap. And then I think some of, and just in my own experience, and this is just completely information for me, I signed up for the American Legion, but the sad thing, and this is why I've kind of pushed more for recreational therapy, I don't want to drink. I don't want to be involved in kind of a bar. I don't mind events. I actually work in an area that hosts events and do certain things. But I think at least for veterans, younger veterans, there's not necessarily the disconnect, but I think in Alaska, it's a little bit harder to reach us. And then if you're connected with at least, you know, the VFWs and the American Legions, it's okay, but then again, it's the folks that want to be involved in kind of those organizations. I'm a member of Disabled Veterans of America, also Wounded Warrior, you know, Project. But again, there for a while, depending on the organization, it's been very minimal interactive with those things, unless you want to go to the bar or unless you want to have, you know, kind of a VFW event. And I think a lot of us, at least my friends and speaking for me, I'd rather be outdoors or be a part of some of the different things than, I don't know, sadly, and this is just in my own mind, when I go to the VFW or I go to the American Legion, I feel like some of the vets they're just kind of drinking the rest of their lives away. And so I think that there's a very much need for information outside of those organizations that reach out versus just, you know, and some of the, it's kind of funny, even with the Legions or the VFWs, some of the locations are very kind of close-knit, and so they've built their organization or community kind of out of those vets that are connected to that, whereas a lot of us, maybe I would say Enduring Freedom veterans, haven't really connected with like in-place organizations like that. It's just not something that we've been a part of. So you are correct. It's an older generation, I think, different, like Vietnam and different conflicts as well.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Block? Okay, hearing and seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Block, for your testimony. I don't see anybody else enter the room, nor do I see anybody else online, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. Any questions or comments from committee members? We also have Verdi Bowen that's on the line. He's the Director of Office of Veterans Affairs. Any questions for Mr. Bowen or for the bill sponsor? Okay, what is the will of the committee? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am happy to make a motion. I move that we report Senate Bill 40, Work Order 32-LS0231/A from committee with individual recommendation and the attached zero fiscal note.
Any objection? Hearing and seeing no objection. Senate Bill 40, Work Order 32-LS0231/A, it will be reported from committee. Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you very much for presenting your bill and for your advocacy. Next up, we have House Joint Resolution 16. Representative Nelson, you're more than welcome to present there. If you would like to take the table in front of us, you're more than welcome to do that as well, at your discretion.
Sure. I will just present from here.
Okay. We first heard this bill also on Thursday, April 22nd. We do plan on opening up public testimony for this as well. And so I'm going to go. Any questions for the bill sponsor before we do so? Any comments before we open up?
No, I'm just glad that this resolution has been brought in front of the committee, and I'm excited to see how the vote goes and hopefully get this passed through the committee.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll open up public testimony. Public testimony is opened up. I see no one in the room to testify. We do have one person online. Mai Zong, are you available? Mr. Zong, are you still with us?
Hello? Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mai, forgive me. Mai, if you will please go ahead and state your name for the record and your affiliation, and please proceed with your testimony.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Veterans Affairs Committee. This is Mai Zong. I'm with the Mount Alaska Community. And today I'm here to testify for HJR 16.
Please proceed.
I'm here because I testify for the bills because there are a lot of older veterans that it's been passed away already, and it's been more than 40 years since it's been more than 40 years and since 1961 to 75, since the American CIA recruits among people to fight during the Vietnam War, and I just want them to get to help the veterans this year, so we could pass the regulation for the Hmong military benefit for them, because the veterans are passing away, and we don't have much left in Alaska now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions to our testifier? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just was going to say hello to Mai and thank her for calling in. She's a neighbor in Mountain View.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Young. We appreciate your testimony. With that, I don't see anybody else available to testify, so I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. We also have Verdi Bowen online still with us to answer any questions on this bill, Director of Office of Military and Veterans Affairs. Any questions? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first, my apologies to Representative Nelson, who have been collaborating on this because it got pulled out of committee in the first hearing. So thank you to Representative Nelson for doing such a good job on this. And Mai mentioned that the veterans are dying. And Mr. Bowen, we worked with him when we passed the bill about the driver's license. And so I know he might have that number in his head. And I just thought it might be worth sharing because one of the things that's motivated me so much, and Representative Nelson and I talked about this, is that the government did make this commitment more than 40 years ago, and so we're still, you know, trying to honor that. And so I just wonder, Mr. Bowen, if you might be able to give us an update sort of on those numbers that you had recently prepared.
Through the chair to Representative Tarr, this is Verdi Bowen, the Director of Veterans Affairs. The numbers that I have right now just floating in my head is 82 that we have provided certificates for to receive their driver's license. So in the state of Alaska, over the last 12 months, we have issued 82 documents to allow them to get that driver's license. Now, I spoke to Mr. Lee, who's in charge of the Hmong American Incorporated group that is actually Mai's husband, and he had said that there was a few people that had passed away in just the last couple of months, and so it's almost like our Vietnam veterans, you know, they're passing away at a large number. So the sooner we can get these benefits, the better off we are.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowen. And I can't help but to agree wholeheartedly on that. When you think about 100,000 Hmong soldiers with 40,000 of them died in battle during that. That's 40% mortality rate. And we couldn't have done it without them.
No.
Any comments Further comments? Any questions? Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I still support the bill, and I'm not going to vote against it moving out of committee. I do kind of still question the fact that there's a promise made, and I'm not sure where it came from. And I understand the chain of documentation has been long either burned up in a building or whatever that may have even existed, and I'm not sure it ever did. But I just want you to know that's my only concern. It's been a concern since I first heard the bill a week or so ago. And I'm doing a little research on it, and I'm looking into it, and best I can come up with is a representative or a senator in a committee hearing in 2013 basically said it was a concept. But outside of that, I don't have anything else. And that's the only thing. But I believe in the bill. I believe in the resolution. I believe in what we're trying to accomplish with it. Best of luck to everybody on this one.
Thank you very much, Representative Rauscher. If I don't mind me rephrasing your statement, were you hoping to see a document that expressed the commitment that the United States had with...
Pardon me?
I'm sorry. Let me speak a little bit closer to the microphone. Were you looking for a document that expressed the commitment that the United States military had for the Hmong veterans or the Hmong people that fought in the war?
Through the chair, I've been trying to just find something that points to the fact that we made a promise somewhere. Other than a statement many years, decades, half a century later. So that's all. And I realize that that's pretty hard to do, but it would comfort me greatly to find something that, if you could find a document to a document to a document that referred to a promise, I would be even happy. But so far, the best I can come up with is the word of a concept. And that was offered by, I forgot which senator in committee in 2013. And basically, the quote is, this concept is not unprecedented. Talking about what we're trying to accomplish here back then. And so that's basically, but like I say, I am not voting. I am not going to stop this from leaving committee. I believe it needs to. I believe the intention is extremely important. I believe it's long overdue. I believe that that's what they deserve. But I just want you to know that the one whereas in there, it just seems to bother me a little bit. Thank you.
Okay. If you don't mind pointing to that one whereas,
if you don't mind, Representative Rauscher. We want to keep our promise. I'm looking for it again. Do you remember where it was, Representative Nelson?
I think we discussed it, but I didn't see the written. I think it was discussed. I don't think that there is a whereas that mentions any promises. I think it just basically states the facts of what they did for us.
Representative Tuck, I think it's on line 25.
Okay, yeah, I was just about to say that.
Oh, the last whereas. Okay. There we go. I actually have it underlined already previously. Okay, yeah, they were promised they would be treated just like other United States.
Well, countries. It says they were.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Representative Rauscher. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to add to that, because that's not a new issue, that kind of sort of question of, like, substantiating the service, if you will, has come up before. And Mr. Bowen might be able to add to this, because when he says, you know, that they were able to provide papers for 82 individuals for the driver's license, there are specific documents that are required to prove that you had their service. And I was also going to refer back to the a bill, the Hmong Veterans Naturalization Act of 2000. And in this bill, it applied, the law only applied to those who served with a U.S.-backed Laotian-based special guerrilla unit or irregular forces and served in the U.S. quote-unquote secret army anytime between February 28, 1961 to September 18, 1978 and were admitted into the United States through a political refugee status process from Laos or is a veteran who meets all of the qualifications listed above at the time the veteran applied to enter the United States and was admitted as a refugee. So I know for purposes of the driver's license, there are also some requirements that prove during that time period that you served and, you know, trying to sort of have it, the documents and everything, there's a whole process to sort of substantiate that. So I just want to put that part on the record, and I think that's, you know, sort of all of those requirements are what proves both the person, you know, participated as a soldier and then kind of connects it to that other effort. And Mr. Bowen, I don't know if there's anything he would want to add to that.
This is Mr. Bowen, through the chair to Representative Tarr. What we use is we use the same thing that the VA uses, which is the naturalization of each individual that comes in. Those that came in for political reasons, most of them are stated on their documents that they were soldiers, either as Laotian or as Hmong, and that is what we use, and that's what the VA is using for the burials. The VA has already acknowledged that there was a promise made by providing them burials in our federal cemeteries. That's really unfounded. So that really is sort of the first step in to reflect that there was a promise made in order for that to have passed and become law. The other part that we use is that when you're dealing with CIA operations, you have to look at the whole picture of the program that is going on. And at the end of the Vietnam War, the CIA flew 3,500 senior officers of the Hmong Army from Laos to the United States and their families, so that you have to multiply that by whatever that number is. And that's quite a few people. And there had to have been a promise made there in order to do something of that magnitude. They did, and of course they did leave the enlisted and some of the junior officers in the country because they did not have the ability to fly everyone out. The next thing is that Jerry Daniels, which was a CIA operative that was left in Laos after the war, he actually stayed in Thailand to try and help and pull as many of those Hmong people out of that area and get them back to the United States after the war is completed. And the sad part is he did not live long enough to testify. He actually died in Thailand in a hotel. And so and then that's when the operations or the complete time frame of those assisting the Vietnam or the Hmongs to come back to the United States ended, and that was somewhere around 1978 time frame.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowen. Did you have more you wanted to speak?
No, I'm open for any other questions.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and thank you for the clarification. I think that's the difficult part about a CIA promise is whether or not they can put that in writing. But I think the examples you just given us on how the CIA reacted and bringing those Hmong families here, the senior officers, and doing what they could for the junior officers kind of expresses that there was a promise that was given. And I appreciate you bringing this up, Representative Rauscher, because you do want to substantiate as much as you can, especially when you have something going in front of Congress, because you don't want to put any doubt in any of the facts that we have to give them an excuse not to support something like this.
Right.
Any further comments? Okay. What is the will of the committee? Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we report House Joint Resolution 16, Work Order 32-LS0795-B from the committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing and seeing no objections. House Joint Resolution 16. Work Order 32-LS0795-B will be moved from committee. Please stick around to sign both of the bill and resolution that we moved today. That concludes our agenda. Our previously scheduled meeting on Thursday, April 29th has been canceled due that our presenters will not be available. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, May 4th at 1 p.m. here in the Gruenberg Room 120. At that meeting, we will hear a presentation from the United States Army about the new initiative to specifically recruit soldiers who want to serve in cold weather environments such as Alaska. The presentation will be made by Major General Peter Andrzejczyk. Am I saying that right? Andrzejczyk. Thank you. What she said. He's the Alaska Senior Army Commander. Hearing and seeing no further business before the committee. Yes, Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Tuck. I'm wondering if it's possible for committee members to meet at 1:30 next Tuesday rather than 1, and they might have other committee obligations. Just checking.
Let's be flexible on that. I have to check and see how long the presentation is, because we have the committee room for a limited amount of time. I just got to make sure that an hour and a half is plenty of time for that presentation. We'll take a brief at ease. Back on the record, we're going to have to stick to our schedule at this time. On Tuesday, May 4th at 1 p.m., we will look at further committee times and being able to start a little bit later. But with this particular presentation, we should probably start at 1 o'clock.
Thank you.
Here and see no further business before the committee is going to be adjourned at 1:36 p.m. Thank you very much.